Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And my guest is Alexandra Bracken. She is the author of the brand new book, Lore. It is it's a fantasy novel, and Alexandra is a number one New York Times bestselling author. Alex, this whole idea of fantasy things, I never read a fantasy novel before I started doing this show, and now I've kind of gotten into them, and I think I had this whole idea in my head that fantasy novels were for kids, and I just never picked one up. But now, heck, I've enjoyed them over the years. What do you think is, before we get into the book, people who've never picked up a fantasy novel before, how do you get them past that first initial step to actually do that? Because I think a story is a story, and if it's a good story, it doesn't matter whether it's fantasy, YA, crime, whatever.
I completely agree with you. It really is. You know, fantasy is just pure escapism. That's the one thing I would say about fantasy. You enter these wholly realized other worlds, and it allows you to take a break from your day-to-day life, and you get to kind of live through another character going through a journey that, you know, we in our normal lives would never be able to go through. So my dad was like the biggest fantasy reader growing up. I would always see him, you know, before bed, reading a very small little mass market paperback fantasy novel. And like every summer he reread The Lord of the Rings. He just loved fantasy. And so I was lucky enough to get a very early introduction to fantasy reading. But I completely agree with you when you said that, you know, a good story is just a good story, no matter what format it comes in. And I think about that a lot, too, with graphic novels and comics and whatnot. Like, it's just a different delivery of a great story, but really what you're reading for are these wonderful characters and how they grow and change.
Well, this particular book, and the great thing about this book is it's a standalone. You're going to have a beginning, a middle, and end, and we don't have to wait for seven volumes like Harry Potter to get to the very
exactly,
end.
Exactly, yes. But it's kind of nice as an author, too, to wrap it up and go.
But set up lore for us, because it's this interaction between humans and gods, mortals and gods, and it's just a fantastic story because it doesn't all take place in another world.
Exactly. So I'll give you my whole pitch for Lore. Lore is what we would call a contemporary fantasy. So it's set in our world the same way, for example, Harry Potter is or Twilight is. It is neither of those books, however. This story is centered on Lore. She's a 17-year-old living in New York City. She's grown up in a like kind of cult-like, Spartan-esque secret society of hunters, all of whom are descended from some of the ancient world's greatest heroes, like Achilles, or in Lore's case, Perseus. And so every 7 years, for 7 days, these families participate in a hunt. And during that week, 9 of the Greek gods are cursed to walk the earth as mortal as punishment for betraying Zeus. And so if one of these hunters can kill a god, they can take that god's power and immortality. But the catch is that 7 years later, they become one of the hunted themselves. And so Lore has left this world behind at the start of the book. She wants nothing to do with it. But unfortunately, the hunt is taking place in her city, and a wounded Athena shows up on her doorstep seeking help and offering Lore the one thing that she has always thought was impossible, which is vengeance for her murdered family. So this is like a very action-packed, very twisty book. It has some, I think it has some nice romance woven through it. But it's going to be a really good read for anyone, for example, who loves The Hunger Games or the Marvel movies, or even someone who just loves Greek mythology. But it is set in modern day, and it's set in New York City.
And I did like that right inside the book, you put a map of New York City, and you put all the home locations. And that was helpful as a reader, but just it kind of puts you in that mindset. Was that an afterthought, or is that something you knew you'd have to do from the very get-go?
I talked to my editor about that, and there are a couple other things, too. So I will say, if you are not super familiar with Greek mythology, we definitely have you covered. We have charts of the little families at the front of, or the little families of these hunter families at the front of the book. And then at the back of the book, we have a nice character list that includes the gods themselves, if you kind of recognize the names but don't quite remember what they did in mythology. But with the map, I definitely had a couple conversations with my editor, who is New York-based, and I was lucky enough to live in New York for about 6 years after I graduated school, and we were like, you know, it's just not everybody has been to New York City, so these distances are going to be, like, very kind of meaningless to them. So ultimately, I think we made the right choice in including the map.
Laura in the book is 17 years old, but she comes off to me as a very mature 17-year-old. And so I'm always interested in when a writer takes that mindset on of a 17-year-old and has to go back and try to think, you know, find your 17-year-old voice. So how did you find Laura's voice for this book?
Laura is, I always joke, like, I don't miss living in New York City, but I miss New Yorkers, which I don't think a lot of people would agree with. But New Yorkers just have this, like, very tough, I'm here to face the world, I'm going to get through the machine, so to speak, today. And they have just, like, a wonderful sense of humor and love the city so much. And that is one of the main things that informed Laura's character was her love of the city that she has grown up in. And so she is very fearless and fierce, but at the same time, she's been through a lot. Like, she's been through a lot of past trauma and is still in a lot of pain that's unresolved, and that's one of the things she has to confront during the week in which the book takes place. So Laura is, in fact, a very mature 17-year-old, and it's partly because she's a New Yorker, and those kids grow up so fast in the city. It's kind of wild, and they're very independent. I always, when I lived there, I always got a little alarmed when I would see, like, 12-year-olds riding the subway alone. But it's also because Laura has just been through so much.
There are also a lot of adult themes and, or maybe mature themes in the book. And as you decided to sprinkle those throughout, what was your mindset in incorporating those into a fantasy novel? Because those are very real-world issues that we have, but nonetheless, they make an appearance in this book.
Right, exactly. So I was introduced to Greek mythology pretty young by my mom, because my mom's side of the family is Greek, and I think she thought it would be a very easy way to kind of start introducing that heritage to myself and to my siblings. I think she kind of forgot how dark and pretty twisted a lot of those stories are, so maybe not, like, totally age-appropriate for me, but I really wanted to kind of, I don't want to say honor, I think I just wanted to address a lot of the darkness in the myths and have that be reflected and discussed in the book. So, for example, when I was younger and today, you know, the amount of sexual violence that's in the myths, that has always really bothered me. And even just the way women are treated, they don't get to be the big heroes and go off on adventure. In fact, they're often punished if they show any real sign of ambition or any, like, or if they express rage or anger or jealousy or pride. And so I brought all of those into the story as I was working and really wanted to kind of inject these issues that are still present today in our world into the story and kind of have Lore and even Athena, who's this ancient being, kind of navigate those issues. So it is, I will say, this is on the more mature end of YA. So it's, I would recommend it for, like, 14 and up rather than, you know, sometimes 12 and up, which is actually where YA, the genre starts. So, but I also, I'm hoping it'll be a great read for adults too.
I'm chatting with Alex.
Don't be dissuaded by the YA label.
I'm chatting with Alexandra Bracken about her brand new novel, Lore. It is available now wherever you pick up your books. Alex, you've written lots of books for young adults and a lot of fantasy throughout your career. And as you do that, do you find yourself pigeonholed into that genre? Or is that something that you could, I mean, I know you could write anything. You're a heck of a writer. But what is it that keeps you in this genre?
Oh, you know, part of it is that I love the readers so much. They're so wonderful and passionate. The YA readers, just when they fall in love with the book and characters, they just fall in love with it, and they want to ask you everything about it. It's just kind of funny because, like, elementary school kids and middle school kids, they will, like, come to you and they have no filter, and they will tell you everything they think about the book, too. So it's just, like, it's wonderful to write for kids and for older teens, and, you know, it's so funny. When I knew from a really young age I wanted to be a writer, and for some reason I've always only ever wanted to write for young people, and I think a lot of it has to do, especially YA. YA, like, our teen years are just so filled. All of the emotions are so heightened, I guess. You know, everything feels like the most important thing, and you're going through so many firsts in life. You're, you know, experiencing your first love. You're kind of experiencing your first brush with freedom when you learn to drive. And you're really trying to figure out who you are as a person. And I find that the latter there just to be so endlessly fascinating. And there are so many different ways to approach it. So I think YA and, you know, younger books for elementary school kids and middle school kids, they're just so fun to write. And it's so fun to kind of be in that world with those readers. So I might write a book just solely for adults one day, but right now I'm very happy in my kidlit sphere.
You know, something I do when I read is I'll come across a passage said by Lore or another character, and I'll read it out loud to myself and imagine how it sounds. And I'm sure you do this as an author to try to catch the voice, to make sure it sounds like something a 17-year-old would say. But you're a lot of things, but you're not a god. And so when you give a voice to a god, to some type of deity being, how do you find that particular voice to make it come off as natural as it sounds in the book?
Oh my gosh, I do actually. I will actually say some of the lines aloud as I'm typing them to check to make sure that it sounds like humans are saying them. Or in this case, a god. It was such a fun challenge to bring Athena, because she is one of the main characters, into this modern world and try to figure out how the gods would navigate a really modern world and what would offend them, what wouldn't offend them, what they would kind of find some secret delight in. And so with Athena, I just had to make sure her voice was very formal. I always say she's, like, very imperious. Like, you could kind of imagine her always being, like, her posture being extremely rigid, and she just has this big presence that kind of overtakes the room that she's standing in.
You know, I read something in your bio that really stood out to me is your Star Wars heritage as you grew up. It's kind of a funny thing to say, a Star Wars heritage, but can you kind of relate what that was like growing up with a father who was so into that culture?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, my dad was a super big fantasy reader, but he also loved science fiction too. So when I was really young, probably like, you know, when I was in second grade, I think my dad started collecting Star Wars memorabilia, and I had this like really interesting childhood of going to Star Wars conventions and antique shops and toy shows and all of that, kind of looking to help him complete his collection, and it kind of became this family project. But I really grew up with Star Wars. You know, I've seen the movies like thousands of times, it feels like, at this point. And I was lucky enough to be asked to write a young reader retelling of A New Hope, which is the first of the original movies. And I kind of got to approach it from a very cool way of like splitting the book point of view between Han, Luke, and Leia. But, you know, my relationship with Star Wars became a lot more complex because my dad passed away in 2012. And when I was offered the book and offered the chance to write the book, I really almost didn't do it. Just even though I love Star Wars so much, I just felt like, oh, this will make me too sad. But it's wonderful that, like, I discovered in the process of writing it that watching Star Wars, kind of like living in Star Wars, also just helped me feel connected to my dad, even though he's not here anymore. And I've been lucky enough to hear from a lot of readers and a lot of Star Wars fans who have picked up the book that it's been the same for them, that they've had like this parent who brought them into the Star Wars world, and then they lost their parent, but they still can kind of experience that thing that they had together. So it's really wonderful when something like Star Wars becomes kind of like a family inheritance or like a cultural inheritance that we kind of pass down through the generations. But it really, you know, and I will totally credit Star Wars for kind of teaching me how to craft a story, how a story is shaped.
In the Star Wars culture of the fans, the people that go to the different conventions, it seems like you can have an actor that played in Star Wars. I mean, even the somebody whose voice we never hear and we never see the underneath a helmet or something like that, but they become big attractions for these Star Wars conventions. Since you're part of that world now, are you sensing a little bit of that with Star Wars fans, that since you wrote that book, you're part of that culture now, and they would break their legs trying to get an autograph of you just because you have that connection?
Oh my gosh. Not quite to that extent. I do, you know, like I said, having been to like many Star Wars conventions in my life, I do like honestly find the like autograph side of it really fascinating, because these people really do make a living off of just going to these shows and like selling autographs and whatnot. I was like, it's a good job if you can get it. Like, but it's, you know, writing the Star Wars book, I will say, has introduced me to a lot of really wonderful readers who are, like, very dedicated Star Wars readers. And so they've then picked up my other non-Star Wars books, which has been really nice. And so I'm definitely not, like, a super recognizable person or name in the Star Wars fandom. I can just go in and enjoy Star Wars conventions as a fan.
And, of course, you're part of the Disney Hyperion family with this book and others. But when you're part of that Disney world, that always seems to me like getting to the Land of Oz for a writer, because it's hard to get there, but, boy, once you're there, it's great. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, you know, publishing in general, is just, it's a tough nut to crack. It really is an industry in which you experience a lot of rejection, not unlike Hollywood. You get told no by book agents, by publishers and whatnot. And I somehow landed at Disney's, you know, they have an original fiction imprint. Excuse me, that's the word I'm looking for. They have an original fiction imprint that just does Disney properties. Like, so they've also published books about like Frozen and Star Wars and Marvel and all of that. Then they have their own kind of original stories too. And that was surreal.
This has been just a fantastic book for me to get into. I absolutely loved it. I love the setting in New York, because I love books that are set there, but also just the way that you incorporated the Greek gods was so meaningful to me, because it brought back a lot of things I learned in high school about these gods and hadn't really thought about. So the book is called Lore. It is by Alexandra Bracken. It's just a fantastic novel. Go out and pick it up and enjoy it as winter continues on here. Alex, just a fantastic offering and a great conversation. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weasler. We will be back next time.